says in Avot, in the Ethics of the Fathers, the third chapter, Mishnah Gimel. Rabbi Shimon omer, shlosha she'achlu al shulchan ehad, ולא אמרו עליו דברי תורה, כאילו אכלו מזבחי מתים. אבל שלושה שאכלו על שולחן אחד ואמרו עליו דברי תורה, כאילו אכלו משולחנו של מקום. Meaning, three people who ate together on one table and did not say דברי תורה at the meal, it's as if their eating was as if they were eating the meat of sacrifices to idols. On the other hand, three people who ate on one table and said on the table Divrei Torah, it's as if they were eating korbanot, sacrifices offered up in the Beit HaMikdash to Hashem. Ne'ema ze ha-shulhan asher lifnei Hashem. Before that, in Mishnah Bet it says, Shnaim she'yoshvim, Rabbi Hanina ben Teradion omer, Shnaim she'yoshvim, two people are sitting together, ve'en b'nehem divrei Torah, and they're not discussing words of Torah. Hare ze moshav letzim. This is considered a moshav letzim, means like a gathering of scoffers. Aval shnayim sheyoshvim ve'yesh b'nehem divrei Torah. But two people who are sitting together, and they are talking words of Torah between them, shechina b'nehem. שנאמר אז נדברו יראי השם איש אל ראו ויקשב השם וישמע. It brings a proof that two people who sit and learn together, the Shekhinah is with them. And then the Mishnah says, אין לי אלא שניים. We see only two, concerning two, who are sitting and learning together. מניין שאפילו אחד שיושב ועוסק בתורה שקדוש ברוך הוא קובע לו שכר. How do we know that even one person who sits and learns, Hashem will reward him? So it brings a pasuk שנאמר ישב בדד וידום כי נטל עליו. If a person sits on his own and is learning, כי נטל עליו, he'll receive reward. He will be rewarded. So we see here, when we're speaking about learning, we speak of two people. שניים שיושבים. יש ביניהם דברי תורה. They're talking and learning, not talking and learning. But when it's to do with a meal, we say שלושה שאכלו. Three who ate on one table. And then we say if they said דברי תורה, if they didn't say דברי תורה. The reason is very simple. Learning needs two. חברותה. You have to have, as Hazal said, או חברותה או מיטותה. To be on your own is so bad to learn on your own. You say you're better off, God forbid, dying. Or havruta, or you have a haver, someone to learn with, or mituta, or you know, it's to be on your own lonely, you cannot learn. So, but to learn, the minimum you need is to have a havruta, to have someone to learn with. But when we're speaking of that, and that's already kviut in Torah. Two people learning gives kviut and brings the shekhinah. But concerning a table where people ate, the halakha is zimun. When can you say zimun? With three people. So that's why we say if three people ate on one table, if they said Torah, they didn't say Torah, it depends. If they said Torah, it's like eating sacrifices from the Beit HaMikdash. If they didn't say Torah, it's like eating from offerings to idols. And also we see this Mishnah holds that one person sitting and learning, the Shekhinah doesn't come. Because when it says, when Shnaim Shiyoshvim, Yeshvim Dunach, Shekhinah Benehem, the Shekhinah is between them. The Divine Presence comes to be between them. But concerning Ehad, one sitting and learning, we say, he is rewarded. But we don't say the Shekhinah comes. Maybe before we explain it, we'll see another Mishnah. Mishnah Rav says, Rabbi Halafta, Ish Kafar Hananiah Omer, עשרה שיושבים ועוסקים בתורה. 10 people sitting and learning, שכינה שרויה ביניהם. ושכינה, the divine presence, will be with them. And it brings a pasul, אלוקים ניצב בעדת אל, עדה is 10 people. So, אלוקים ניצב. If you have 10 people learning, אלוקים ניצב, Hashem is there. And then it says, "Uminayin afilu hamisha." And where do we learn that even five people sitting and learning, the divine presence is, comes to be with them? Shenemar ve'agudato al eretz yisada. Aguda means five, like five fingers in the arm, and it's called aguda. So five, the Shekhinah comes, even for five. Then it says, "Uminayin she'afilu shlosha." And how do we learn that even three people sitting and learning, the Shekhinah will be with them? Shenemar bekelev Elokim yishpot. Elokim is like three judges. If you have three together, Hashem is there. Uminayin afilu shnayim. And how do we learn that even if two Shekhinah benehem, the Shekhinah will be there? Shenemar az nidberu yirei Hashem ish el re'ehu. Ish el re'ehu. That's two. One with his friend. Mishma Hashem uchole. And then the Mishnah says, Uminayin afilu ehad. And how do we know that even one, that the Shekhinah comes, Shenemar b'chol ha'makom asher azkir et shemi avo elecha u'berachticha. Anywhere where my name is mentioned, which is the words of Torah, I'll come and bless you. So Hashem comes. So this Mishnah seems to be disagreeing with the previous Mishnah, which said for one, Shekhinah doesn't come, but they're rewarded. That one person will be rewarded. But it doesn't say Shekhinah comes. And this Tana holds that even for one learning, the Shekhinah comes. So we have many questions on all of this. So maybe we'll go stage by stage. First of all, we'll explain the first Mishnah that we mentioned. Three people who eat on one table. It says it's as if they said Divrei Torah, it's as if they ate from sacrifices to Hashem, and if they didn't say Divrei Torah, it's as if they ate from Zivhei Metim, from offerings to idols. We're now in the 3 weeks. We have to remember that our rabbis say, "Meyom sheharab et hamikdash, shulchano shel adam mechaperet alav." Meaning that when we had the temple, and we could bring sacrifices, especially those who sinned can bring a sacrifice to atone their sin. So the sacrifices would be our kapara, would atone for our sins. But now that the temple has been destroyed, what's going to atone for us? A rabbi says, "Shulchano shel Adam mechaperet alav." Your table atones for you. So they're obviously saying that sitting and eating at the table is like offering up a sacrifice and attaining atonement for your sins. On the other hand, we find that our rabbis say that why did the Hachamim instate three prayers every day? Shaharit, Minha, Arbit. So it says that Shaharit corresponds to the morning daily offering, which is the Korban Tamid Shel Shahar. And the Minha prayer is corresponding to the Korban Shel Ben Arbaim, the Tamid Shel Ben Arbaim, the sacrifice of the afternoon. And Arbit was instated corresponding to the Evarim Peradim, Pedarim, that they are allowed to burn the limbs and the parts of the animal which had to be burnt on the altar. It could carry on burning during the night. So, corresponding to that, the Hachamim instated Tefillat Arbit. So we have here like seemingly a contradiction. On one hand we say, seemingly, that the Korbanot are represented at the table. On the other hand we say that the Korbanot are representing prayers. So, you know, what's going on? The answer is like this. Even when we had the Beit HaMikdash, there were two types of korbanot. The Tamid Shel Shahar, Tamid Shel Ben Arbaim, the daily offering in the morning and the afternoon, and the burning of the limbs in the evening, this is Korban HaTamid, Ola. Korban Ola. Ola, it says, Kulo Kali Legavua. Ola, Korban Ola, no one can benefit from it. No human being. The Kohanim can't eat the flesh. of that korban and no one else eats it. So there's no physical benefit from the ola. That's why Hazal said that the three prayers, Shahrit, Minha, and Arvit, keneged timidin tiknun. Timidin, which means the ola, korban ola, which is tamid. Tamid shel shahar, tamid shel ben arbaim, tamid shel randbebe, evarim epedarim. Why? Because also prayer is the same. People think, what's prayer about? I need something, I ask Hashem, He gives me. That's not true. It says, Tfilah Tzorech Gavua. Prayer is Kabiachol for Hashem's sake. It's to do Nahat Ruach LaKadosh Baruch Hu. How could that be? So the Arizal explains, the ultimate purpose of prayer is an opportunity to express your trust in Hashem, that you know that when you lack something, there's nowhere to go and no Hishtadlut to do. There's nothing you can do about it except go to the source, Hashem, and say, please Hashem, I need this. Whether Hashem is going to give it to you or not, that's another issue. But the opportunity to pray is an opportunity to express your belief and your trust in Hashem that only He can give you, only He can deliver. So really, prayer is kavechol tzorech gavua. Even more deep than that, the Mekubalim explains that our prayers, when we pray, like the mitzvot that we do, they all bring more light into the world, more holiness into the world, and they bring the world to perfection. The taken olam b'malchut shaddai. That means Hashem created the world lacking, and it's up to us to perfect the world. And how do we perfect the world? Bringing more of the light of Hashem into the world. And how do we do that? Through Torah, Mitzvot, Ma'asim Tovim, mainly through our prayers. The prayers that we pray light up the world. That's why prayers are considered Tzorech Gavua. It's for a higher purpose, not as we think it to be, I need something, give it to me. No, it's for a higher purpose. So, rightly so, the prayers were instated corresponding to the Korban Ola, Shel Shahar, Shel Ben Arbaim, with these Korbanot, there is no physical benefit. Just like prayer, the ultimate purpose is not for you to physically benefit, but just to do Hashem's will and pray to Him. So also, these korbanot had no physical benefit. No one could eat it. On the other hand, when we had a temple, if a person bought shlamim, or even hatat, korban hatat, if he sinned, so there's certain korbanot, the Kohanim eat. Certain korbanot, even the Baalim, the one who offered it up, can eat. So there is physical benefit. So we could say, Shulchano shel Adam mechaperet, that means atones for our sins, like the korban hatat. Similar to these korbanot, hatat or shlamim, that there is physical benefit, that the Baalim and the Kohanim eat and enjoy them. So just like in korbanot, we have two types. We have those which there is no benefit, physical benefit. And we have those which have physical benefit. So today, Hachamim instated, corresponding to the sacrifices where we have no physical benefit, the prayers, which is holy and for Hashem's sake, and corresponding to the those sacrifices where there is physical benefit, they instated Shulchano Shel Adam. And that's why they say Mechaperet. It atones, just like the Korban Hatat. When a person brings a korban because of his sin, which he is allowed to eat and benefit from it, that atones for his sins. Today, the shulchan that we eat atones for our sins. But when is that so? It all depends if we are koviya itim to the Torah, if we learn Torah on the shulchan. If we don't learn Torah on the shulchan, then, God forbid, it's like we're eating from sacrifices offered up to Avodah Zarah, to idols. Can we explain this a bit more? The Arizal explains the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, Gam belo da'at nefesh lo tov. Literally, Gam belo da'at. If also without understanding, without wisdom, da'at, nefesh lo tov. The nefesh, which is the soul, is not good, is bad, is is not developed as it should develop. And we'll explain it more what he means. The Arizal explains it in a deep way. He says there are different levels of the Jewish soul. There's a lower level, a higher level, even higher level. The lowest level is called Nefesh. The next level is called Ruach. The third level is called Neshama. So we have Nefesh, Ruach, Neshama. Now a person must always ascend from level to level. The Zohar says, when a person is born, a child is born, he's born only with Nefesh, the lowest level. Zachayatir, when his father starts teaching him Shema Yisrael, Aleph Beit, he starts learning a little bit, Zachayatir, he merits more, he gets Ruah. He becomes Bar Mitzvah, he's now learning Mishnah and Gemara, and understanding, he gets the Neshama. And there are higher levels as well. So we see how we ascend from level to level. Even when we eat, it's connected to this concept of three levels: Nefesh, Ruach, and Neshama. Why? First of all, we have to eat kosher food. And when we eat, we have to say a beracha. We have to say a blessing before we eat, a blessing after we eat. If we eat correctly with the berachot, kosher food, we've taken the food to one level, which is Nefesh. That means before, you could say that the whole physical world is covered with the forces of evil. Because once Adam HaRishon sinned, he caused everything good as well to be surrounded with evil. When we say a beracha and eat kosher food, we lift it up one level, it attains the level of Nefesh. When we learn Torah on the Shulchan, when we say Divrei Torah at the table, we take the food that we ate to a higher level of Ruach. That's a higher level, through the Divrei Torah. As it says, Ruach Mimalala, the Targum says, Vahi Adam Lenefesh Haya, it's interpreted into Aramaic, Ruach Mimalala. So you see that Dibur, which is Milur, is connected with Ruach. So Torah is Ruach. Finally, the third stage, if a person understands the deeper concepts of eating, as we find in the Zohar and the Arizal, that they explain the deep kavanot we have in eating. People think eating is just like that. It's not so simple. Of course, there is a simple kavanah everyone can have, that I'm eating to be healthy and strong so that I can serve my Creator. If I don't eat, God forbid, I'll cease to exist. So I eat to be healthy. But beyond that, there's many deeper reasons and understandings. You could say almost in every bite you bite and every morsel you chew, there is a tikkun made and a deep kavanah. So if a person knows the deeper meaning of eating, he takes the food up to the third level of neshama. So the Ari explains like this, the pasuk. Gam belo da'at nefesh lo tov. That means, okay, not many people know the kavanot, not many people on the high level to know what to think when you eat. Okay, that we understand. So you can't take it up to the level of neshama. But you can learn on the table. You can say the Divrei Torah. Anyone can read a Mishnah, can read a Assam, something, some Divrei Torah on the table. If you leave also that out, gam below that, you neglect learning on the table, what you're left with, you don't have the Ruah. Nefesh. You're left with only Nefesh. Nefesh lo tov, that's no good. Why? It won't hold. It'll fall back again. The forces of evil again will grab it and take it down. If you go up two levels, you've separated it, it'll remain. You did Nefesh through Berachot, you did Ruach through learning, you saved it. You took it up to a high level. But if you didn't do the second level, only one level, it won't hold, it'll fall back again. So what do we see here? We see that when we eat, it's a holy occupation. Eating is not just filling your stomach. That's why the Hachamim, the Pasuk says, Lo ala nefesh, ki lo ala lehem lebado yehye adam, ki al kol motza pi Hashem yehye adam. Meaning, people think, what is eating? to eat physically, to put the bread in your mouth and eat it. Pasuk says, Pasuk in our Torah, Lo al lechem lebado hi adam. You won't exist only on the bread you eat. If you're only eating, you took it up one level, you made a bracha maybe, nefesh. That's not enough. Ki im al kol motza pi Hashem yehi adam. You need motza pi Hashem, you need divrei Torah to take it up to the second level of ruach, and then it's going to, then it's, you've achieved something. So we see here the power of learning on the Torah, on the Shulchan, the Divrei Torah, how it affects the food we ate and takes it away from the evil forces and brings it to the realms of Kiddusha, of holiness. So that's why the Tana says, if a person says the Divrei Torah on the table, so he uplifted the food that he's eating to the level of Ruach as well, so as if he's eating from sacrifice it in the Beit HaMikdash. But if he only made the Beracha but didn't say Divrei Torah as well, so it's not going to hold. It's going to fall back to the realms of the impure, of the evil forces. If so, Kilu Achlu Mizev Hem Etim. It's easy, as if he's eating from sacrifices to the forces of evil, to Avodah Zarah, to idols. So we can see from here the great importance of learning Torah on a table. That's why Hazal say, "Miyom sheharav Beit HaMikdash," from the time that the temple was destroyed, "Ein le'akadosh baruch hu ba'olamo ela arba amot shel halacha." Nothing is left for Hashem in the whole world that He created except 4 cubic feet of halacha. Why? Because only Torah can uplift a person, can uplift the world, can uplift even what we eat, physical things, uplift them to a high level. The Torah that we learn is what has the force of uplifting. And why three? Three people? Because when three people, you have zimun. And Torah needs kvi'ut. As it says, kavata etim le Torah. So if you're learning in a Beit HaMidrash, you have the holiness of the Beit HaMidrash. Even two people learning, you have kvi'ut. It's called fixing a place to learn. But in eating, you're more distracted by the food. You're not in a Beit HaMidrash, you're not with the Gemara open. So you need three people. You need the force. As it says, Huta Mishulash lo bimhera yinatek. A rope, you know how you say, made out of three, braided with three strings, you cannot easily break. One string you can break, two strings maybe, stronger. Three strings you can't break. It's very, very strong. So three people eating, they have great power. And then even when they're on a shulchan, which is enjoying and eating and something physical, even so, you can, if you say the Divrei Torah, the three people have the power to uplift it to a high level. Okay, that's concerning shulchanot shel makom. Then we discuss that what the Mishnah, which says that Shnaim sheyoshvim, two people sitting down, and the Mishnah says, are they talking and learning or aren't they talking and learning? And it says, if they are talking and learning, the Shekhinah is with them. If they're not talking and learning, the Shekhinah doesn't come. And what about one? It says he'll get reward, the Shekhinah doesn't come. And then we had a Mishnah, it said, for 10 people the Shekhinah comes, for 5 it comes, for 3 the Shekhinah comes, for 2, and even for 1, the Shekhinah will come. And we said it's a contradiction. So that's one question. Now we have another question, and this also appertains, the message is very strong and very clear for us in these days when we are mourning the destruction of the temple. What is this concept of Shekhinah, the divine presence? What does it mean, Shekhinah? We all say Shekhinah. But what does it mean, the divine presence? Also, beyond that, we see here, it says, if 10 people are learning, the Shekhinah will come, the divine presence will be there, for 5, for 3, for 2, for 1. Why did the Mishnah have to go through this whole list, from 10 to 5, from 5 to 3, from 3 to 2, from 2 to 1? The Shekhinah is everywhere. It says very clearly, the wordings of the Zohar, Let Atar Panui Mine. There's no place in the world
where there is no Shekhinah. Shekhinah is everywhere. Hashem is everywhere. Where is Hashem? He's everywhere. There's no place where Hashem isn't. As it says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is memale kol almin. He fills up all the created world. He's everywhere. There's nowhere where He isn't. So what do we mean the Shekhinah comes? There wasn't Shekhinah, and if 10 people are learning, then the Shekhinah comes. For 5 people, the Shekhinah comes. And before that, there was no Shekhinah. And if you had a synagogue, is holy. It has holiness, a synagogue. There's Shekhinah in a synagogue. Where does the holiness come from? It's the divine presence. It's the home of Hashem. A Beit Midrash is more holy than a synagogue. Again, why? Because the Shekhinah is there. As it says, אין לקדוש ברוך הוא בעולמו אלא 400 של הלכה. Hashem has nowhere to be and nowhere to go once His home was destroyed, the temple, except where people are learning Torah. That's where He is. So He's everywhere. So what do you mean that He comes for 10, He comes for 5, He comes for 3, for 2, for 1? He's there anyway. And why do we need the different levels of 1, 2, 3, 5 and 10? What does it teach us? What does it teach us? And beyond that, what about 100? What about 1,000? What about 10,000? What about 1,000,000? So the answer and the explanation is like this. It says, concerning the Beit HaMikdash, "V'asuli mikdash v'shachanti betocham." Make for me a temple and I will dwell among you. The Al-Sheikh HaKadosh asked, it should have said, make for me a temple and I will dwell in it. It didn't say I will dwell within it. It said I will dwell among you. So what function does the Beit HaMikdash play? It's like a powerhouse for electricity. Is the purpose that the electricity remains in the powerhouse? Not at all. It has to go out into all the homes and light up the homes. So also, when we had the temple, the Shekhinah would come into the Beit HaMikdash, and from the Beit HaMikdash it would enter every single Jewish home. And that's what it means, V'shachanti betochan, I will dwell among you. In every Jewish home, I will dwell. As our rabbis have said, Ish ve'isha shezachu, a man and a wife who will merit it, Shechina benehem, the divine presence will be with them in their home, together with them. So really, each Jewish home is a home for Shechina, should be a home for Shechina. This, in essence, is the concept of Hanukkah Abayit. When we make Hanukkah Abayit, a person builds a new home or buys a new home, he has to make Hanukkah Abayit. What does Hanukkah Abayit mean? To inaugurate his home as a place for the divine presence. It's an opportunity to invite Hashem and say, Hashem, we built this home so that in our home, your presence will dwell. We're making a home for the Shekhinah. Now, Shekhinta begaluta, the home of Hashem is destroyed. The King of Kings has no home. He's looking for somewhere to be. Where is he going to be? If we prepare our homes by living lives of holiness, lives, good lives, protecting our homes from all evil influences, so for sure the Shekhinah will come to dwell in such a home. And that will be a home for Hashem. One of the it says in Pasuk in Echa, which we're going to read on Tisha B'Av, says, "Kol rotfeha hisiguha ben amitzarim." The simple meaning is ben amitzarim. We know means between the 17th of Tammuz and the 9th of Av is a difficult time for Klal Israel. It's a time when we suffered a lot. On Yodzayin B'Tammuz, the walls of Yerushalayim were breached. On the 9th of Av, the temple was destroyed. The first temple, the second temple. It's a time of bad omen. A dangerous time. So it says, a person who has a case with a goy, he should avoid not having it in this time. It's not a good time. The mazal is not good for Klal Yisrael. So we avoid it. Kol rotfeha, all those who seek the harm, to harm Am Yisrael, God forbid, hisiguha ben ha-mitzarim. Ben ha-mitzarim, between Yod Zayin B'Tammuz and Tisha B'Av, they can be successful. It's a dangerous time. You have to watch out. Those who seek our bad and our harm could be successful at such a time. That's the simple meaning. But one of the Hachamim explained it differently. He said, no. It's saying here in the feminine tense, Kol Rodfeha Hisiguha. What do you mean, Kol Rodfeha? All those who are looking for the Divine Presence, who want to merit a connection with Hashem, with the Divine Presence, those who chase after Hashem, Kabiachol, looking for Him and chasing after Him to have a connection, Hisiguha Ben HaMetzarim. Between your Zayin of Tammuz and Tisha B'Av, you can make that connection easy. Not like the rest of the year. Throughout the year, it won't be so easy to make that connection. Between your Zayin, the 3 weeks, your Zayin B'Tammuz and Tisha B'Av, you can easily make that connection. Why? Simple. If someone wants an appointment with the king, the president, can you have an appointment with the president? Not so easy. You need a lot of what we call protexia. You need connections, you need bribes, who knows what you need. And if you get it, you're going to be given a few minutes, maybe a few seconds, a few minutes, you can say a couple of words and that's it, out. And you can't become too pally with him. You know, you're going to stand up and say your words and leave. That's when he's sitting on his throne, surrounded by his, you know, by his advisors, by his bodyguards. Of course, you can't even come close to him. But what happens when there's a rebellion and people have attacked the palace of the king and they want to kill him? And he runs away. He disguises himself as a peasant and he runs away into the country and he's looking for somewhere, any home. He's knocking on the doors. Who will take me in? Anyone who opens the door, the king, he has the king sitting with him on his table, talking to him, sleeping in his house.
Like tonight.
Like tonight, maybe. We have the Shekhinah here. So, what do we see from here? When the time of Galut of the Shekhinah, everyone can invite Hashem into his home. And this is what it means, V'asuli Mikdash V'Shechanti B'Tocham. Our rabbis say that this mitzvah of Asuli Mikdash, they say, V'chen ta'asu l'dorot. So you shall do in all your generations. The great author, Rabbi Chaim Mevolozhin, is the author of Nefesh HaHayim. He asked a big question. He said, what do you mean, ken ta'asu l'dorot? How can building a Beit HaMikdash be a mitzvah in every generation? It can't be. It's, when the Mashiach will come, then we can build a Beit HaMikdash in every generation. We can't build a Beit HaMikdash. So what do you mean that it's a mitzvah which you have to do in every generation? He says, simple. It's not speaking about the Beit HaMikdash in Yerushalayim built out of sticks and stones. It's speaking about each Jewish person who can build himself to be a mini Beit HaMikdash. That within each Jewish person there is Shekhinah. You can become a home for the Shekhinah. And that is a mitzvah l'dorot. In every generation you can do that. So now we'll come back to explaining this Mishnah. The Shekhinah, the Divine Presence, is linked up with every Jewish person. Adam HaRishon, he had a colossal soul. His soul included within it all the 600,000 major souls of Jewish people, which was later divided up through his sins to millions and millions and millions of sparks of souls, which are the souls of Jewish people in every generation. But if you put them all together, they're basically 600,000 major souls, all of them linked up as one colossal soul of Adam HaRishon. It says, Israel, Yod, Shin, Resh, Aleph, Lamed. It means Yesh Shishim Rebo Otiot La Torah. Israel, Yesh, that's Yod. Shishim, that's Shin. Otiot Ze Aleph. La Torah, Otiot La Torah. Yesh, Yesh Israel Yod. Yesh Shishim. Rebo, Resh, Rebo, Otiot, La Torah. There are 600,000 letters in the Torah, corresponding to 600,000 neshamot of Klal Israel. Each neshama is linked to one letter of the Torah. How can you have a complete Torah? Only if you have all the Jews together. That's why when Am Yisrael received the Torah, it says, They were completely united when they received the Torah. Why? Because we have to have all the 600,000 souls together to receive the 600,000 letters of Torah. If one Jew is not connected to the fellow Jew, they're in an animosity, between hatred between them. So the letters of the Torah cannot come together. You can't have a complete Torah. The Torah will not become one with all the 600,000 letters, if not that all the souls of the Jewish people are one. So each Jew is one letter in the Torah, and one particle of that neshama of 600,000 souls. So also when they built the Mikdash, each one had to give mahatzit shekel. Why? Ha'ashir lo yirbe ve'adal lo yamit. The rich man can't say, listen, I'll pay for 10 other guys, or for 100 other guys. No, you can't. Each one must bring his portion. Why? Because you cannot have a Mishkan unless it's from all of Am Yisrael together. You have to have 600,000 Hetzi Shakalim, and then you can have a complete Mishkan. You have to have 600,000 letters, then you can have a complete Torah. Just like Am Yisrael will only be complete if you have all the 600,000 together. That's why we now bemoan the temple. And why was the temple destroyed? Because of Sinat Hinam. Because if there's hatred, you're rending ascent, you're tearing apart the Mikdash. Every Jew is not in loving and wishing good to his fellow Jew. He is rendering himself apart, tearing himself away from Klal Yisrael, and ripping away the Beit HaMikdash. So the Beit HaMikdash cannot become one. Haya Mishkan Ehad. How can you make the Mishkan one? Only if all of us are together, everyone. So now we can understand. If you have one Jew, one Jewish person sitting and learning, you have his portion of Shekhinah. If you have two, you have two portions of Shekhinah. If three are learning, you have three, four, five, six, ten. In other words, the revelation of the Shekhinah, the more people are involved doing a mitzvah, the more people are involved learning Torah, the greater the revelation of the Shekhinah. Vayhi vishurun melech bitasef rashi am yachad shifte Israel. When is Hashem the king? Vayhi vishurun melech. When is Hashem the king of Israel? Bitasef rashi am. When all the leaders of the people come together, yachad shifte Israel, together all the tribes of Israel. When we're all one, and we link up together, then you have the complete revelation of Shekhinah, you have the complete Torah, you have the complete Mishkan and Mikdash, and everything is complete. One person has his portion of Shekhinah. Three people, two people, that's their portion. Three. The revelations of Hashem are not inequality. Just like we find, Eser Kiddushot Hen. The Mishnah says in Kelim, Eser Kiddushot Hen. And it tells you, Eretz Yisrael mekudeshet mekol ha'aretzot. Israel is more holy than other lands. Then in Eretz Yisrael you have Yerushalayim, you have Har HaBayit, you have the Azarot, till you get to the Kodesh HaKodeshim. So you see, you have 10 levels of holiness. Why? Because it all depends on the amount of the divine presence which is revealed at each place. The holier the place, the more the revelation is more powerful. So also, 10 people getting together, it brings more Shekhinah. 5 people, less. 5 portions, but not 10. 3 people, that's 3 portions. 2 people, 2, 1, 1. Shekhinah is everywhere. Of course it's everywhere. Hashem is everywhere. But the more the place is a holy place, the more the people are involved doing holy things, getting together to pray, or getting together to learn, it brings more Shekhinah. Because each person brings his portion of Shekhinah to that place. As it says, Kol be'asara shekhinta shariya. Whenever you have 10 people, the Shekhinah is there. That means that the powerful revelation of Shekhinah, which comes when there's a minyan praying. But without that, even when the synagogue is closed, no one is inside, it's holy. Because there is Shekhinah. And if one person is there learning, he brings his Shekhinah. Two people, their Shekhinah. This is what the Mishnah is teaching us. But just we have to understand then, I'm ending now,
why the first Tana said that one person sitting and learning, it doesn't say the Shekhinah comes. Whereas if the other Mishnah says, even for one person the Shekhinah comes. So we have to look very carefully into the wording of these Mishnayot. The first Mishnah said like this. Pay attention. When we read, we're not reading. We have to look into it deeply. It says like this. Shnaim sheyoshvim v'yesh b'nehem divrei Torah. Or, Shnaim sheyoshvim v'en b'nehem divrei Torah. The other Mishnah says, it says like this. Asara sheyoshvim v'oskim b'Torah. Asara, 10 people sitting and learning Torah. Big difference. The first Mishnah says, Shnaim sheyoshvim v'yesh b'nehem divrei Torah. Or en b'nehem. The other one says, Asara sheyoshvim v'oskim b'Torah. What's the difference? The difference is like this. If two people are sitting, for example, they went to the beach, and each one is sitting on a deck chair. Yeah. So, they're looking at the view, they're looking around. And v'nehem divrei Torah. They're not learning. Oh, one could turn to the other guy and says, listen, did you hear what the rabbi said in shul this week? He said this hiddush. And he tells them a hiddush. That's Naim Sheyoshvim. Yesh b'nehem divrei Torah. They didn't go there to learn. It doesn't say, Shnaim Sheyoshvim v'oskim b'Torah. No. They didn't come there to learn. They came there to look at the view. They came there for other purposes. But now that they're there, they say, you know what? Let's hear a hiddush. Let's learn a halakha. Let's say some words of Torah. That's what it means, Shnaim Sheyoshvim v'yesh b'nehem divrei Torah. Or Shnaim Sheyoshvim v'en b'nehem divrei Torah. They didn't come to learn. He's sitting and looking at the view. He's sitting and looking at the view. And they're not talking. But they didn't come to learn. The other Mishnah is speaking about 10 people who came to learn in a bit midrash. They came to learn. And then it says, even one guy who comes to learn in the bit midrash, he came to learn. For sure, Shekhinah is going to be with him. When do we say for one, the Shekhinah will not come? A guy came to sit on a deck chair in the beach and to look at the view. To see the beautiful sunset. And then he says, you know what? He sees a Hokli Israel, he lifts it up and starts reading. They'll give him a reward. But Shekhinah is not going to come for that. To come, the Shekhinah comes by this kvi'ut. That's why it says, Shlosha she'achlu ha'shulchan ehad. You have kvi'ut with three people eating, the Shekhinah comes. You go to a yeshiva to learn, Shekhinah comes. But by the way, you pick up a book and read, Shekhinah is not going to make such a fuss over it. The reward you're going to get, because you could have been talking Dvarim B'Telim, you could have been wasting your time, instead you pick up a book and you learn, you'll be rewarded. But Shekhinah to come, you have to make a kvi'ut. And the kvi'ut has to be that, or you come to a shul to learn, that's kvi'ut, or that on a shulhan, that you're three together, that you can make zimun, that's kvi'ut. Then you have Shekhinah. That's why even in zimun there's a difference. The halakha is, if you have three people, you can say, less than three, you can't say zimun. For three, you can say zimun. If you have 10, elokeinu. If you have 100, you say more. 1,000, more. 10,000, more. The more people you have, the more. Why? More revelation of Shekhinah. The greater the revelation of Shekhinah, the more you can praise Hashem, the more you understand the greatness of Hashem. So this has given us some concept what Shekhinah means. So maybe we can understand now what it means, Galuta Shekhinah, that in these days we are remembering the destruction of the temple, the house of Hashem. The Shekhinah doesn't have a home. We have beautiful homes. We enjoy the comforts of our homes. Okay, we sometimes invite the Shekhinah into our homes. But you know, everyone would like to visit, but they want their own home. Hashem doesn't have his own home. His real home. So, if we really want to comfort Hashem, we have to soon build him his home. And the way to do it, of course, is each one must think how he can improve, whether it's through learning Torah first and foremost, being more careful how we pray, to think, understand what we pray, work on our character traits, work on mitzvot, to do everything with all the details correctly, and Ben Adam Lehaviro, Zeh Klal Gadol B'Torah,
Ahavat Israel, to work on the unity of Am Israel, love of every Jew, so we'll be together. If we're all together, we have a complete Torah, we have a complete Bet HaMikdash, we have a complete Neshama of Adam HaRishon, that brings the ultimate revelation of Shekhinah in this, that we can imagine in this world. Ubayom ahu yeh Hashem Echad v'shmo Echad. Everyone will see, Ein od melevado. We'll see that Ein od melevado. There's nothing else, only Hashem. Now he's hidden, he's in Galut. But when he reveals himself, we'll know Ein od melevado, and he fills up everything, and it's him, from beginning to end.